Poems in an Exhibition is a new anthology made up of verses inspired by paintings, photographs and pieces of art. And Sylvia Vetter is the curator, and Dwina Gibb, wife of the late Robin Gibb, contributed her own poem to the collection. Do you know, it's an absolute delight to have you both here. Dwina, welcome.
Thank
you very
much.
Lovely to see you.
Thank
and
you.
Sylvia, I feel that we have spoken so many times, of course, that the lady, the driving force behind Castaways, of course. That's a sort of a very familiar thing in Oxford.
That's how, of course, Dwina and I met. And yes. That's how I got to realise that she is a fabulous artist and dramatist, a fabulous poet as well. But would you like to hear the story behind the inspiration for Poems in an Exhibition?
Well, do it. Go on, then.
Okay.
If you're willing, I am.
I'm from the village of Kennington, and for 49 years, the village has raised money every year for an overseas project. So in recent years, we've got to know a lovely charity called Standing Voice, which helps people with albinism in Tanzania. Now, for your listeners who maybe not know about albinism, it's a lack of pigmentation. Well, in Europe, people with albinism, you don't really notice them. They don't stand out because, OK, a lot of us are pale, but they're just a bit paler. But if you're a black mother in Tanzania giving birth to a white child, you know, it's very disturbing, it creates fear and all sorts of misunderstanding. And what happens is there's a lot of prejudice against
people. You become
people.
Isolated from your community.
You do, exactly. Yes. And more than that, worse than that.
Violence.
Anyway, earlier this year, the Standing Voice made a film for the BBC called Born Too White. And so, of course, I had to watch it. And I saw the skincare clinic that Kennington had funded, and that was lovely. But in the middle, there was a somewhat harrowing story, and that's the story which led to this anthology. There's a young man called Festo. When he was 7, a man with a machete cut off all his fingers and all his teeth to sell to a medicine man, so-called medicine man. Anyway, this was 2 years later, he was 9. He'd been left with one thumb, and a surgeon had created a finger for him. And we only had 30 seconds on the film, but we saw him sketching. And art has been a very important part of my life, and I could see he was talented. So I went to my artist friend, Waymin Hay, who's got the picture on the front of this book, and I said, Waymin, I'd like to send some art materials to Festo and his friends to encourage them. Would you help me? So he not only advised me and contributed some things, but he wrote this most beautiful letter from one artist to another. Mm. And he made a fabulous painting, especially for Festo. Now, the only poems I seem to write are inspired by art. So when I saw this painting, I had to write a poem, didn't I? So I wrote the poem, the last one in the book, called Born Too White. And then it gave me the idea that this could be a way of getting more people to know about Standing Voice and also to raise money for a particular project, an art project, where young people with albinism and without will work together creating art, breaking down prejudice.
I think it's such a good thing, and it sort of brings this particular issue into the forefront of people's minds, because it's not something that, you know, you wake up in the morning and think about, you know, people dealing with, you know, albinism. It's you feel sort of very cut off from those kind of problems, because like you say, we don't view albinism as a problem in, you know, European countries, because we are paler,
yeah,
of course.
Quite. Yes.
But I mean, you cite, Sylvia, art as being such an important part of your life, but Dwina, it brought you and Robin together, art.
Yes, it did.
Tell us the story.
Definitely.
About that.
Well, I met Robin through my cousin, Ken, who was actually working for Robin at the time. And I had some lunch with Ken one day, who arrived in this big yellow Rolls Royce to take me to lunch. And I thought, gosh, he's doing all right for himself.
He didn't let me know.
Yes, he didn't let me know it was Robin's. And I had some artwork that I actually left in the car. I gave to my cousin. And I didn't realize, but Ken was going to the airport to pick Robin up. And Robin saw the drawings. And he was going through his divorce at the time, and he was getting a new place on his own, and he wanted some artwork for this new house. And so he commissioned me to do some artwork for him, which I never finished. I kept making it more and more detailed so I could keep seeing him. And I travelled all around London looking at all these little, these big houses that he was looking at. And then eventually there was a little cottage on Barnes Common. And I said, look, you know, you've just gone through your divorce. Why don't you just settle for a nice little cottage on Barnes Common? You know, it'd be, you can live there. It would be far too big, a big rambling house. And little did I realise I was going to end up living in the house.
Goodness me.
And, you know, meeting Robin was very special because he had his birthday on the same day as me and so on, you know, 22nd of December. So that was really nice.
So the stars were aligning.
Yes, everything was aligning.
When did you know that it was love?
Well, I think when we first met, we just gelled together, you know, and we had he had a great sense of humour and it was obvious from the beginning that we really enjoyed each other's company. And, you know, it was really good. Actually, he found out that I was a good friend of Sarah Miles and he wanted to meet Sarah. So I arranged a blind date with Sarah before I actually met Robin. And he went out with Sarah and he really enjoyed her company, you know, but... he ended up meeting me and then that was it.
Mm. And so, talking of birthdays, isn't it this Friday?
Yes, it is. 22nd of December. Yes. And he was a twin. And there was also someone else in the band who had their birthday on the same day. So there were, you know, there were four of us that were actually celebrating the same birthday.
I bet that was one hell of a party.
It was.
In the heyday.
Party. Yes, in the heyday. Definitely in the heyday.
I should think, you know, it's a reflective day for you on Friday.
Yes, it is. It is. It definitely is. He's buried just across the road, you know, and at St. Mary's Church in Tame, and I usually put a great big heart of roses there, you know, for him. So,
but this poem that you've written, "My Songbird Has Flown,"
yes.
It is the most beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Was Robin in the back of your mind when you wrote this? Is it about
yes,
him?
I wrote it actually before. I had written some parts of it in another poem for him about a year, you know, before he actually passed away. And then, and I just added bits to it and just sort of created this then to read at the funeral.
So as much as art brought you together,
yes,
art has helped you in your grief as well, being able to put your feelings into poetry.
Oh, yes. I mean, Robin always said that art and poetry and music and goes beyond caste, creed, colour, you know, just all over the world, really. In every country. I mean, I think there was some kind of a riot or something that was in the Philippines and they started playing, somebody put the Bee Gees music on really, really loud and it stopped the whole riot. Everybody started dancing. Mm. So, you know, there are things that can happen with music and art and poetry.
It's a special language, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
You are
it's
now,
a language of love, actually.
It is. You are yes. now going to read us, actually, "My Songbird Has Flown."
Okay.
Dwina Gibb.
Thank you. My songbird has flown, and the world sighs. The gentle mouthpiece of his immortal muse has gone, and no music can be heard that is sweeter than the language of his love. No diamond is more precious than the memory of the twinkling in his eyes, and no treasure in the lands will replace his happy smile. My songbird has flown, and the world sighs. And if I were to paint a third of what I feel, a masterpiece would be yours to have and hold and hang upon your wall. If I were to write the words that spill from my heart, tomes and volumes would make your library wide and tall. If I were to sing songs of praise for him, saints would rise to make a chorus fit to please angel hurls. And if I were to make music for his gentle ear, celestial harmonies would dance in all the worlds. And so no more, his voice now stilled but never gone, a depth of silence reigns where once he had his say. The veil of night has fallen, But a dawn of the divine will rise for a new day. My songbird has flown and the world sighs, but we know that he is never far away.
Dawina, that's absolutely wonderful and so incredibly emotional. And just as you read that, I'm looking, there's a picture beside your poem of you and Robin and, yes. and that smile that you speak of in the poem.
Yes, yes, definitely.
It's such an emotional poem, yeah. Sylvia, isn't it? I mean, it brings a tear to the eye.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, many of the poems in the book are very emotional. Yes. And what I loved about this project was that, you know, when I just had the idea and I asked poets, all the poets I asked said yes. But it was only a little while in that I realised how diverse they were. Mm. The youngest is 18, Shakira Morar, and she won a prize, Poetry for Peace Prize. The oldest is Professor Simon Altman, who's 93. And they come from four continents, but Oxford's what linked them. And I would say they're virtually almost every shade of skin and every shade of religion. Yes. And yet we're all united in creating something. And that, to me, in a world where it seems to me that politicians and other people seem to be wanting to divide us, is important. And we had a lovely launch, and I invited a group called Confluence Collective, who are not very well known, but they're very talented musicians and singers and dancers and poets. But they basically connect all the different communities in Oxford. And yesterday you were talking about Syrian refugees. Well, every month at the Mahabala in St. Mary and St. John, there are lots of Syrian refugees, and they're starting to take part and to sing and to teach us dancing. So you share cultures. You share what's best about creativity. Rather than seeing it as things that divide you, you see that then it's things that inspire you.
Yes.
Dawina, this is the most beautiful tribute to love that you shared with Robin.
Yes.
What do you think he would make of that poem?
I think, well, he loved my poetry, so I was really happy when I was travelling throughout the world, you know, with the Bee Gees, and we would travel from one country to another, and I was inspired in all of those countries to write poetry. So I was writing poetry about, I wrote one called Don't Whisper in the Mountain, where somebody just told me that when you go through Mount Fuji, you're not allowed to whisper. and so there were different and poems about Edinburgh Castle and just different places we went to everywhere all over the world. And so maybe I'll sort of get them together, because I did sketches as well of all the different places. So one day I'll bring it out as a book, I think.
I really do think you should, actually. And I mean, obviously, we mentioned your artwork as well, because you are the most incredibly talented artist. Well, of course, because of that's what brought you and Robin together, because he commissioned your artwork. And you've just handed me, I don't know whether I can keep it or not, but
yes,
lovely.
You can.
Well, I'd love you to sign it, a Christmas card, which says, warm winter wishes, love from the Gibb family, with your artwork on the front. And it is truly spectacular.
Thank you.
Christmas in Tame?
Yes, absolutely. We've always had Christmas in Tame. I think just a couple of times we had Christmas in America, but most of the time we came back to Tame. Robin liked the winters here.
He'd have loved the snow, wouldn't he?
Yes.
A week or so ago, getting snowed in. Dawina, it's been a delight to meet you. It really, really has.
Yes. And you too.
Many happy birthday wishes for you on Friday.
Thank you very much.
Of course. We will be thinking of you. Good luck with this project and every project in the future, Sylvia, because you bring people together and it's wonderful. How can people get hold of poems in an exhibition?
Well, I think you've probably got to know about it through James Harrison of Oxford Folio.
Oh, yes, he's a good ambassador of yours.
Because he's actually published it for us. So you can get, if you go to his website. But in fact, we sold out of the first printing.
Yes.
And all the money from direct sales will go to Standing Voice. So if actually people get in touch with me, I'll having another 100 books delivered tomorrow, and my email address is quite easy one. It's sylviavetter@gmail.com. So if you emailed me, if you'd like a copy, and then I'll make sure I post one.
Thank you very much, Sylvia Vetter and Dawina Gibb. It's been an absolute pleasure.